You may. I'm going to start us off with a little reflection called Inner Peace. If you can start the day without caffeine, if you can always be cheerful, ignoring aches and pains, if you can resist complaining and boring people with your troubles, if you can eat the same food every day and be grateful for it, if you can understand when your loved ones are too busy to give you any time, if you can take criticism and blame without resentment, if you can conquer tension without medical help, if you can sleep without the aid of drugs, if you can do all these things, then you are probably the family dog. Ah, yes, peace, that sense of inner tranquility and quiet that our pets have, that sense that all is right with the world. There's a bumper sticker that I've seen from time to time. Cheryl has it for me. Imagine world peace. Have you seen that before? Has anybody seen that? It's, of course, making fun of this bumper sticker, which is Imagine World Peace. And I think it's just a clever pun, but I also think that there's a little bit of snarkiness involved with the world peace one, because it's sort of a joke, like, ha ha, world peace, that's not going to happen. Imagine instead world peace. That's funny, right? I do believe in working toward justice and peace, not just world peace. I believe that we get closer to achieving that ideal when we break it down into its teeny, tiniest, smallest unit. We'll get to that in a second. But speaking of a teeny, tiny unit, what do you think one drop of water can do for science or for saving the world? A couple weeks ago, I came across a scientific abstract that said this. By measuring a water droplet with a resolution comparable to the size of a single atom, scientists have determined that the droplet interface behaves like a miniature stormy sea, even when it appears to be at rest. And then I read the article and I only understood like 10% of it, but basically it was talking about how scientists were studying the way that the light and the light and sound waves interacted on this little tiny droplet of water, and from that they were able to extrapolate things about cancer, about the way light moves in cells that are healthy versus unhealthy cells. I've been thinking about that for a couple weeks. What does it mean that something so small could influence something so big? In the face of such enormous violence and pain in the world, what can one person do to affect change and bring peace? Well, forgive me for a minute while I take us on another little detour through brain science. You know the amygdala, right? The amygdala is the part of your brain that some people like to call our lizard brain. The amygdala is the part of the brain that would light up if a bear walked into the sanctuary right now. If a bear walked in right now, our amygdala is going to have something to say about it. It will do all sorts of good things for us. It will send out a release of glucose so that we have the energy to run out of here, and a strong release of cortisol to help us get out of here, to become safe. It would make our heart rate beat faster, our pupils would respond. It's a very handy emergency response system that we have to get us out of safety, out of danger, and into safety. I'm sure you've heard it called the fight or flight response, because that's what our lizard brain is designed to have us do. It's designed to have us either fight or get out of here. It's reactive. There's a bear. If you're not going to fight it, you better run. It's an emergency. I think evolutionarily it's a really great system, because when we need to get away from those woolly mammoths and mastodons or whatever other large creature that's hunting us, we need to find a place to go. The problem is our amygdalas are responding all the time, working overtime, finding bears where there are no bears. Have you been to the mall recently? Have you driven around Elmhurst recently? In my opinion, road rage is a leftover vestige of our Mastodon fighting days. We're driving around minding our own business and someone cuts us off, and so our reptile brains are like, bear! So we honk and we swear and we drive around really fast. If we're trying to climb a tree to safety, this is useful. But if we're trying to achieve inner peace in the middle of Elmhurst, not so much. Science does confirm for us that we can do something about this overactive amygdala brain. If we meditate, or if we pray regularly, at least 15 minutes a day, we can actually rewire and restructure our brain. In as little as 3 months of daily meditation and prayer, we can actually reduce the size of our amygdala and increase gray matter in other portions of our brain. We can stop sensing danger where there is none. We can become less road ragey, or maybe even less ragey in general. When we pray, when we meditate, when we pray meditatively, we can change the structure of our brains. Okay, so maybe there's some inner peace to be had there, but what about world peace? That's what we're after, right? Well, imagine, if you will, a world in which any leader of any kind was a person of peace who was actively working to make that ragey fight or flight brain smaller. Wouldn't that be a world in which we were that much closer to world peace? And here's the thing about creating world peace by starting with ourselves. This may really make us angry, but I know it's frustrating to me too. But we can't actually control the way other people act and behave as much as we would like to. Certainly we can have an effect on our environment, and we can have an effect on what might encourage people to behave in peaceful ways toward us. But when it comes right down to it, there's absolutely nothing we can do to control the behavior of others. So if we want world peace, we really do have to start with ourselves. We might not like it, but there we are. Ah, but you say the problems of world peace are so huge. I am so small. Surely I cannot do something to affect peace on a global scale just by starting with myself. You're not really saying that, are you, Pastor Tracy? Well, yes. Yes, I am. There's a bit of rabbinic wisdom that says this: do not be daunted by the enormity of the world's grief. Do justly now. Love mercy now. Walk humbly now. You are not obligated to complete the work, but neither are you free to abandon it. You're not obligated to complete the work, but neither are you free to abandon it. So when it comes to the world we'd like to create this Advent, a world of peace, we are not obligated to solve all the problems of the world in order that all may have peace and harmony. But neither are we free to abandon the work completely. We do have to do our part now, today. And so we pick up an extra pair, or five, of socks and a few extra toothbrushes, and we pray that they get to those who have cold feet. We write a letter to our congressperson explaining our view on things, even if we're not convinced it makes a difference. We meditate and pray, not knowing what will happen, in the hopes that maybe, if we're slightly less full of rage, if we're slightly more at peace with the world around us, that it will have an effect on the world. So we show up at peace rallies and prayer vigils. We stop mocking world peace and start working toward it, step by step, in our own little way. Maybe you are a history buff and you've heard and studied the Christmas Truce of 1914, a time when enemy soldiers during World War I decided to cease fire and engage in a day of peace. It's a story that pastors really love because it works out really well in a sermon. But when you research it, it's a little more complicated. Some retellings of it make it sound like the soldiers played football together. But really, there's not a lot of historical evidence that that was so. But even so, historians do agree that something happened, not just on Christmas Day, but in that time between Thanksgiving and Christmas, where some soldiers did make a decision to stop fighting. Some did exchange presents. Some did sing Silent Night together. It's a historical reality that something happened at that time because individuals made it so. So world peace is a tall order this Christmas. We'd like it in our Christmas stocking, at least I know I would. We're not free to give up on the idea, even if we're not able to make it happen by ourselves. We have to do our part, as small and as brief and as insignificant as we think that it is. We need it, the world needs it, and the world needs us. So this Advent, may we work for world peace, not world peas, and may we find that peace starts and radiates from within us and flows outward bit by bit. The drops in the ocean add up to something remarkable. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.